And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Days of a Poet, was written by Erwin Gonchak and deals with the life of the immortal young Spanish Hebraic poet Solomon Ibn Gabirol.
It takes a lot of work to bury the dead. I, Reuben, found him on the road. I knew him when he lived. I have thick arms and a strong back, so it is right that I be the one to bury the dead. But what's the hurry? I'll stop again to rest. There are no relatives here to tell me to be quick with the work. No one to complain. Reuben, it's bad luck not to fill in the grave right away. Who cares? Who are we burying here? A great prince? A wealthy merchant? No. Just a young man who was a poet. So who in the village cares? Who cares? No. I care. Reuben cares. You know, of all the people in Spain, I knew this poet better than anyone. Yes, me, Reuben. Me who they call the hewer of wood and the carrier of water. Me. I knew this poet. He taught me to know a little about the world, to feel with my heart a little. No one else even looked at me. But he did this for me. So for him now, I, Reuben, will speak about the dead. You see, there is no father or mother at his grave, no wife or child, no relative or friend, nobody. So I will speak about this young man, all the days I know about, just like I was some relative, for that's what you're supposed to do at a burial, even if there's no one here. I first met Solomon Ibn Gabirol in the year, 1031, 1032. The Berbers were invading Spain from Africa, and I had taken Solomon and his mother and father with my horse and wagon from Cordoba to Saragossa. But I ask you, what for? There was no safety in the town. Can you put up walls against the plague? Some walls. So what did Reuben do? What do you expect? I went through the streets of Saragossa with my horse and wagon, picking up the bodies and burying the dead. And Solomon's mother and father were the first to be carried away.
Reuben, I am no longer a child. If I have a problem now, I cannot run to my mother and father.
Solomon, if you need a strong back or a thick arm, come to me, Reuben, and I will help you.
Thank you, Reuben. But I need more than physical strength now.
Then go to the synagogue and pray to God.
I have. But I must confess that I still don't know the ways of God. Why did he take my parents away from me?
It was the plague.
And how do I know that God isn't the plague?
Look, ask the rabbi.
He can only tell me chapter and verse. I must find the answer myself.
All right. But I must first feed my horse.
Reuben, if you wish, I'll read you what I have written about where I seek solace now.
Read, but don't mind the horse. He's hungry.
Don't worry. I've developed the habit of shutting out all distractions.
Good. So I'll eat my lunch with the horse. So read.
In Praise of Wisdom by Solomon Ibn Gabiro.
I told my wife, more salt.
How shall I forsake wisdom? I have made a covenant with her. She is my mother, I her dearest child. She hath clasped her jewel about my neck. Shall I cast aside the glorious ornament? While life is mine, my spirit shall aspire unto her heavenly heights. I will not rest until I find her source. Well?
Well, what?
Did you like it?
Without salt? Did you ever taste my wife's cooking without salt?
The poem, Reuben, the poem.
What does Reuben know of poems? Take it to the synagogue. There you can get an ear for anything under the sun. Poems, how to cure a cold, when the Messiah will come, anything.
I will, Reuben, and more than that. I inform Lady Wisdom that I will not rest until I find her source.
So I would meet the young Solomon from time to time in the town seeking wisdom, as he has explained. But being a truthful man, I must admit that it was that I wasn't quite sure what this wisdom was that he was looking for. And if you find it, how do you know you found it? But I do know an argument when I hear one. And how many arguments I would hear when I was carting wood to the synagogue. Not that I'm an eavesdropper. Still, how many times I would listen to Solomon argue with Ibn Shalbib, an important man of the synagogue.
Solomon, my boy, I will be blunt.
By all means, Ibn Shalbib.
Tell me, after the high joys of an Isaiah and the profound depths of a Job, what can you say in the Hebrew language that will not be, well, so poor and pitiable in comparison?
I will sing the song of myself. Neither Isaiah nor Job, no matter how great their inspiration, could do that for me.
Well, that is your problem, Solomon, my boy. Your imagination, your unrestrained fancy, it can lead to some fairly crude or corrupt notions of God.
My God is not narrow. He encompasses the universe. And my vision of him must be as wide and as all-knowing as the Lord himself.
Look, Solomon, do we restrain you from writing poems for the synagogue service?
No.
In fact, we are pleased to have you, the craftsman of words, in our midst. For as the rabbi has said, prayer must not be fixed, but free. We do not wish the services to turn into magical rote. But, Solomon.
Yes?
Be careful of the tyranny of the beautiful phrase. Blend your selfness into the memory of your people. Show more discipline, more restraint, decorum.
At all times, Ibn Shalbib, a poet must be true to his special vision.
Which brings me to my second point. Did you ever think that perhaps you are wasting your talents on poetry? We are a scattered and threatened community. We must not waste our meager resources on flights of fancy. Become a doctor or a man of the law or perhaps...
Writing poetry is the noblest calling of man.
I might as well talk to the benches. But remember, young man, if you wish us to use your poetry in the services, more discipline, restraint, decorum.
Did I wake you up, Solomon? If I did, I apologize.
No, Reuben. Don't apologize. I wasn't sleeping. I was deep in thought. Reuben, I've made a decision.
Every day a new decision.
Reuben, no longer will I permit the thorns and thistles of the earth to be the judge of my work, and the uncreative to establish standards of what is good and what is bad. What does Ibn Shalbib know of art?
What does Ibn Shalbib know about carrying wood? Oh, my back.
Yes, Reuben. I, Solomon, Ibn Gabiro, will blaze a new path for myself.
Well, With all my thinking, I still had to work like a horse to get the wood from the forest to the synagogue. And what did Ibn Shalbib pay me for it? I'm ashamed to tell you. But as for Solomon, he was a smart one. Well, the next I knew, he was employed in the house of the rich and illustrious nobleman, Yakuthiel Ibn Hassan.
Solomon, I'm proud to count you among my friends.
I am indeed pleased that you do, Ibn Hassan.
It is the wish of the noblemen of this country to support our scholars and poets, to raise them above the care of material necessities, and in due time to elevate them to high offices.
My heart leaps with joy.
Good, my son, good. Your time of troubles is over. You will find a haven here. Now in peace you can cultivate our ancient mother tongue, study the sacred scriptures, imbibe strength from our ancestral religion.
I shall do all this and more. The purpose of my life becomes clear. Now I can compose order out of chaos.
I'm afraid, Solomon, your mind spends too much time looking inward. Try also to look outside yourself. Develop, if you can, a feeling for beauty in nature. Touch all the strings of the heart.
Of course, Ibn Hassan. How right you are.
Walk through the countryside. Study the grain fields, the vineyards. Dream a song of love in the olive grove.
Oh, Yakuthiel Ibn Hassan, because of you and your beneficence, Solomon Ibn Gabirol shall truly begin to live.
Oh, my donkey friend. Solomon, you want a ride?
Where goest thou? To the Garden of Eden? To the fount of all joys?
To the swamps to get a wagon load of peat.
Then I shall join you in your search for the eternal verities.
Good. Just don't get stuck in the bog. I haven't got a rope with me. Yep.
Oh, I shan't go into the swamp. I shall study it from above. And while you work, do you know what I shall be doing?
What?
Pondering such questions as, what is the highest aim of man?
To climb a mountain.
What is the nature and origin of the soul? And where does it go?
It doesn't concern me, Solomon. My wife calls me the soulless one.
How is God to be perceived? And why is this an imperfect world?
Too many questions, Solomon. Here, eat a pomegranate.
Thank you, Reuben. Oh, it's good to be alive.
But Solomon's happiness did not last long. One night, the king of Saragossa was murdered. And then next night, the friend of the king, who happened to be Yakuthiel Ibn Hassan, was also murdered. And Solomon lost his patron and protector.
If Yakuthiel could pass away, then the skies themselves are transitory.
His songs were no longer light and gay. He could not find any place in the community. Some years passed, and then he started to get into a lot of trouble again. And he blamed the people of Saragossa for his torments. And he wrote pamphlets against them, and he spoke against them.
You are all jealous of my poetic gifts.
Solomon, we don't even listen to you anymore.
Because you are all afraid to face the truth.
What truth? Whose truth?
That this town has become a second Gomorrah.
Be careful of what you say, Solomon.
No, I shall not be silenced. Our holy language is one favored by God, in which the angel choir daily praises their creator, in which God revealed the law, the prophets prophesied, and the psalmist sang. And the men of Saragossa, the blind community, are completely indifferent to our Hebrew language.
There are people in this town who are growing tired of your continuous raving.
Who? The haughty of Saragossa, who look down upon their fellow citizens and always consider their own counsel best? Those filled with hate, who bear words of hypocritical love on their lips, I have nothing but contempt for them.
I believe, Solomon, you'll find the feeling is mutual.
Soon, some men of Saragossa, knowing that I knew Solomon Ibn Gabirol, paid me some money to take him and his many complaints with my horse and wagon far away from the source of his troubles. But even as we rode away, he shouted a few parting words at his fellow citizens.
Where is the friend of reason and knowledge. I see only skeptics and weaklings. I see only prisoners in the durance of the senses. And every fool and every spendthrift thinks himself as great a master as Aristotle. Thinkst thou that they have written poems? Callst thou that a song? I call it the cackling of ravens. My song I have inscribed on the forehead of time. They know and hate it, for it is lofty.
Save your voice, Solomon. Saragossa is 5 miles back on the road.
Oh, but they shall hear from me again. My verse shall follow them to the ends of the earth and to the end of time.
Do you want to lose your troubles?
How?
Find yourself a wife. Then the troubles you had before will seem like nothing.
Reuben, I'm in no mood for jokes. I must chart a new course for myself.
Chart. But do it quickly, because I got to get back to town before the sun sets.
Resolved. I shall leave Spain.
Oh? Goodbye.
Woe to thee, land of my foes. In thee I have no portion. Whether joy or sorrow be thy lot.
Woe to Spain. Solomon Ibn Gabirol is leaving.
Yes. I shall go to Egypt, Babylon, and Palestine.
Good. So, goodbye.
I shall follow the example of the patriarchs, the greatest of prophets, who left their native lands and went to foreign climes.
So, when are you leaving?
Now. With you.
Me? I have nothing against Spain.
What has Spain ever done for you?
Well, I live, I eat, I sleep.
So does a sheep. Come with me, and you will become a man. We will retrieve our birthright, our heritage, our freedom.
Oh, Solomon, maybe you can live on words, but I would starve to death.
Reuben, though fortune withhold the crown, the heart's desire, though all deceive, though honey change to gall, still am I Lord and will in freedom strive. Soon we sail for the promised land. Banish all your fears, Reuben. It is indeed a land flowing with milk and honey.
So what was I to do? I went with this wild young poet. Why? Maybe I had become a little crazy, too. Maybe I had become drunk with his words.
Who is honorable in the sight of the Creator? He who has met with adversity, but bravely endures whatever befalls him.
And all we met with was adversity. We wandered first in one part of Spain, and then we wandered in another part of Spain, until all we had left was the shirt on our backs.
Which man is most likely to achieve his object? He who discards whatever is superfluous and takes the short road.
What short road? There were no short roads. From the north of Spain to the south of Spain, from the east to the west we traveled. But never once did we leave this country. Never once did we set sail for the promised land. Why? How can Reuben tell? And Solomon never told me why. But his spirits and soul sank lower and lower.
O soul, with storms beset, thy griefs and cares forget. Why dread earth's transient woe when soon thy body in the grave, unseen, shall be laid low, and all will be forgotten then, as though it had not been? Reuben, it avails no more. We seek a mirage. Go home.
What will you do?
Find another protector, another patron, so I can rest my weary bones.
So we left the dusty roads of Spain, and I returned to my carting and hauling, not once seeing the promised land. And Solomon Ibn Gabirol found shelter under the roof of Samuel Ibn Magdalia. And what followed between the protector and the protected was what you have probably guessed by now.
Solomon, you have not shown the proper gratitude to me, your patron.
Sir, I am proud of my calling, the search for truth. I will not serve man or stoop before the mighty like the priests of Edom.
You insulted my friend.
They are fools.
And you are an unmannered boor.
Ibn Magdilia, you have no real love for poetry, for the arts. All you wish is a monkey you can display on a chain. So you can tell your blabbering friend, see, this is my poet. Dance for our entertainment. Now bow down and beg for my guest.
I will have respect and obedience from those I employ.
I have loathed the bitterness of all things, but I have found nothing so bitter as the taste of begging. I shall beg no more.
You are at liberty to leave my house.
I tell you, Samuel Ibn Magdilia, the eye of a needle is not narrow for two friends. But the world is not wide enough for two enemies.
Get out, you ingrate!
With pleasure, my lord.
Another protector had failed him. So Solomon went on his way. A few years went by, and I cut a forest load of wood and hauled a lake full of water. And many a month would go by without me giving a thought to the youth. But every so often I would wonder what he was doing and what had happened to him. Then, two nights ago, on the dark roads between this village and Grathia, while traveling with my mule, my question was answered.
Oh.
Help me.
What is it?
Help me here. Here, please help me.
What? Solomon, you... What happened?
Bandits. A blow on the head. Then darkness. Darkness.
I took him to my hut and put him in my bed. He moaned and raved the whole night long. But at times his mind cleared and he talked to me.
As a child... I always wondered at the mystery and the vastness of the universe. And now I know that only that the mystery and vastness is greater than I ever dreamed.
Rest, Solomon, rest.
Reuben, the fever no longer clouds my eyes. Finally the mists rise. All my life I have been... contesting, running, fleeing from unknown fears. But from what? Have I feared the face of God?
Sleep, Solomon. Sleep is good for you.
Reuben, I will run no more. I leave a song for the world, for the tormented and the suffering. Reuben, are you there? Are you listening?
I'm here, Solomon. I listen. I won't leave.
When all within is dark, and former friends misprize, from them I turn to thee, O God, and find love in thine eyes. When all within is dark, and I my soul despise, from me, I turn to thee and find love in thine eyes. When all thy face is dark and thy just angers rise, from thee, I turn to thee and find love in thine eyes. Reuben, I fear no more.
Life is hard. So now Solomon Ibn Gabirol is dead, and I have buried this young poet. And, as a friend should, I have spoken about the days of his life that I knew. Yes, it is right that I did this. And now I must return to my animals in the field. The
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Jack J. Cohen, member of the Society for the Advancement of Judaism, New York City. Rabbi Cohen.
Prayer has been defined by the American philosopher, George Santayana, as poetry to be believed in. Over 900 years ago, Solomon Ibn Gabirol wrote such poetry and such prayer. His poetry was the lyric expression of his conception of truth, and his prayer was a song of dedication to the pursuit of truth. In his Keter Malchut, The Royal Crown, a magnificent hymn to the infinite power and goodness of God, Gabirol wrote, "Light eternal art thou, and the eye of the intellect longs and yearns for thee. Yet only a part shall it see, the whole it shall not behold." Modern man needs the synthesis of thought and emotion, which the medieval Hebrew poet wrought out of the anguish of his tortured soul. Not in the abandonment of reason is God to be sought, but in the full exercise of intellect. To bring mind to prayer, to endow the exercise of the mind with emotional power, these are among the prerequisites for man's upward climb toward a fuller humanity and a heightened sense of divinity. The problem of worship is ceaseless, because communion with God is elusive and only partially achieved, and then at rare intervals. To seek God, to search for meaning even in an existence which sometimes brings to man long periods of sorrow, was not a task unique with Solomon Ibn Gabirol. Many men have experienced the need to probe life's meaning. But the world awaits again a poet who would sing for our generation and in our idiom, as Gabirol did for his, of the deepest yearnings, discoveries, and creations of man's unfettered intellect.
Thank you, Rabbi Cohen. Our eternal light drama today, The Days of a Poet, was written by Erwin Gonchak. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Daniel Acco was featured as Reuben. Others in the cast were Roger DeCoven, Guy Repp, and Harvey Hayes. Peter Laser and Martin Newman played the role of Solomon Ibn Gabirol. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.